as a teen or a kid, I remember I'd get together with my best friend Miller, and we would just make cookie dough just for the dough.
I love that. Oh, I'm a huge cookie dough fan. I am right there with you. I mean, I haven't stopped and passed it on to my children. And I would eat cookie dough over cookies every day. Welcome to Chef Over Your Shoulder, our podcast about the connections we make through cooking. Pairing professional chefs, Jody and Kirsty from the Culinary Studio, with me, a burn to the bottom of the pan expert, creates the perfect recipe to demystify the kitchen and bring back the joy of cooking without the pressure. Why does food always taste better late at night when you're standing at the kitchen counter? On today's episode, Jody, Kirsty, and I are sharing our absolute favorite midnight snacks. We talk about why the perfect sandwich is truly the pinnacle of a late night snack. And Jody teaches us the art of making the perfect peanut butter toast. If you're looking for something a little bit lighter, we also share our favorite healthy snacks that still satisfy those late night cravings. Even when it comes to snacking, Jody and Kirsty still bring their professional expertise to the kitchen. They share how to revive yesterday's pizza so the crust stays crispy and the cheese stays melty. Of course, not all late night snacks are eaten in the comfort of your own home. Kirsty shares a legendary New Year's Eve story that ended at a 7-Eleven with the perfect midnight snack that saved the night. Kirsty and I also confess that raw cookie dough is one of our favorite treats, even while Jody expresses her professional concern over our raw flour intake. But in the end, we all agree that a simple bowl of cereal might just be the perfect midnight snack of all. Good morning, Jody and Kirsty. I feel like the topic of this podcast, we shouldn't be recording in the morning. We should be recording at midnight and snacking while we do it.
Drinking beer and wine.
That's right. We'll have to do that next time.
Yeah, I think that was my text message that I sent out. Like, hey, we should do a midnight snacks episode. And now I can't remember why.
See, that's going to be okay, though, because I think you guys still have some great ideas for midnight snacks. And I think we all have very different ideas of what midnight snacks are. So we're gonna get into that. But first, I did do some homework and some cooking last week.
Love it. We love hearing your progress, Amy, as does our TV Land audience.
I know. We got some feedback about that. So I'm going to keep cooking and I'm going to keep bringing my feedback back. So last week, I was looking for something sort of weeknight because we were busy. And so I went on the Culinary Studio website, was looking at the recipes. And we had talked a little bit about meatloaf in the pantry episode. And you had both wondered why I had meatloaf spice. And I said, well, I don't know. I put meat in a bowl and put the spice on and put it in the oven. And you guys were not very impressed with that, which I can totally understand. So we went for the meatloaf. So I looked up the meatloaf. You have a beautiful meatloaf recipe. And it was just as easy as me using the meatloaf spice. So I will say that it did not take me very long. So I was pretty excited about that. And it was easy to make. It calls for apple butter, which I thought was very cool. I will say I couldn't find apple butter because I was rushing and I actually ordered groceries online that day, but I found a barbecue sauce with apple butter. So I picked that instead.
Okay. That's super cool. So Jody and I went to the market, at some point in the last year or whatever. And there was this jar of obviously you're getting it at the St. Jacobs Farmers Market. Remember, Jody, the jar of apple butter, it was like a 4-liter jar. And Jody's like, you're like, who's using this much apple butter?
And the response was, it's for serious apple butter fans.
The cutest Mennonite lady. She was like, it's for serious apple butter. It was so funny. So I think that was maybe why we thought, okay, where else? We didn't buy the 4-liter. I bought like a small jar and then thought, okay, where else can we use it? And we got a lot of feedback, people using it, you know, in all kinds of places, barbecue sauce being one of them for sure.
Oh, okay, good. So that's the reason why they were mixed then in the jar. Okay, well, that was good to know. I have to say the other fascinating part was the bread and the milk. So tell me a little, I would never have thought to add that. I just thought it was like meat and spice and go. So tell me a little bit about why we pour milk over bread and what that does for the meatloaf.
So it's known, bread and milk together is known as a panade. It's used a lot in Italian cooking for meatballs. We use it in our meatball recipe as well. There was a while that people were getting away from using it because all the gluten-free trends, right? There's a lot of people that were not eating gluten, but it's so delicious in meatloaf and those meatballs. It it keeps the proteins from getting too close together and coming across as dry and tough. So essentially it keeps them separated with some moisture on the bread and the fat of the milk, and then keeps, they're so tender, right? Like so tender when you're not cooking them for a good long time. So that's the point of that. It's very Italian. It's very used extensively in Italian recipes. And we're just bringing it back after, you know, gluten was devil number one or whatever, enemy number one.
Well, I can't live without carbs, so I was A-okay putting the bread in. And I thought, I mean, it said that it would keep it moist, and it did. I've made it with my other way, and it was very dry. So this was such a great change. And then the other interesting thing was the cold water that you added, which I would never have thought to do either.
Jody, you got to field these science questions for me.
I know. This is all the science questions behind the meatloaf. Who knew meatloaf was so sciencey?
I'm going to take a guess. I feel like the butchers use it, right, as a technique. It's in injecting, you know, moisture and steam, and I don't, it's just keeping it more tender, right? It provides that steam in there.
My favorite thing about that meatloaf, and it's the reason we did it, it's the reason why I didn't like meatloaf as a kid, is because I think that just raw onions were thrown in, and then they'd fall out, right? They'd be like, so my favorite part is the caramelized onion, taking that time, and it gives it some sweetness. Again, it adds some more moisture. So I'm glad you liked it. Glad you liked it.
I did, and my family liked it, and they are always hesitant some with the meatloaf, and I made it with mashed potatoes, and it was a nice hearty weeknight dinner, and very successful. So it's going on the list of regular things we're going to make, especially through the winter, I think.
Did you have any leftovers?
No, we did not. So I only made it, there were only three of us at home that night, so I only made it for one pan. And Xavier had two helpings, and so it was gone, which was great. And I think, though, having the leftovers, I think I saw on the blog you turned them into sandwiches.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, if you want leftovers, because then you can just cut a thick slice, fry it in a pan to warm it up. It gets crispy. And then just think of a delicious sandwich, like put that on toasted bread. Or
oh, my gosh, that's a midnight snack segue right there.
That is. What a great midnight snack. Holy cow. I didn't even think the frying part, and then you add cheese or something. I think that would be unbelievable. So I'm going to make double, I guess. Or so would you have two loaf? Because I only have one loaf pan. If you wanted to have leftovers, would you make two loaves, and can you put them in at the oven at the same time?
Yes, for sure.
You can double it. You can freeze it. You can do mini loaves. I love mini. Jody and I talked about it this week. We're like, let's just open a store of mini things. Like, we love all things mini right now. There's all these mini. Yeah. And I was like, yes, I love a mini loaf, because then you can definitely freeze some.
I love that. That's so cute. And a mini loaf would also make for a great midnight snack. So, Kirsty, when you brought up this topic, I was so interested because you said midnight snack, and then you referenced you forgot why. But I also think you guys can think of all the things you snack on at night. But I think we probably snack differently, because midnight snacks for me is how fast can I open the bag or the box? And I'm assuming that that's not your version of a midnight snack.
No, we try not to. When, you know, I was talking about it with my husband, he's like, and I was like, gosh, why did I say midnight snacks? He's like, probably your leftover pizza. So generally a midnight snack, I think, is going to be dictated with what you've done prior to midnight, or maybe it's even a 10 p.m. snack versus a midnight snack. And I remember this one time, you know, we had whatever delivery pizza, and it wasn't homemade. It wasn't like Jody's Detroit pizza, holy bananas. That would be a midnight snack in itself. And I remember going, you know what, this can be better. That's what Jody and I always think. We're like, how can we make it better? And I took out a cast iron pan because I didn't want to microwave it. And you know what it was now? It's all coming back to me. I'm like, I'm so hungry. I don't have time for it to reheat in the oven. So I got a cast iron pan out. And instead of I reheated it cheese side down first. So the cheese got like really like, oh my gosh, like crusty, like you know, the like little burnt cheese bits from like a grilled cheese sandwich. That was the whole top. And then it released enough fat so that when I flipped over the slice, it crisped the bottom in this like cheese fat and pepperoni fat. Maybe that was the inspiration, but that's midnight snacking.
That is like number one midnight snack. I love the upside down warming up. What a great idea.
I weirdly am not a midnight snacker. Like overall, I'm like, why not? And like, is it from my mom's Weight Watcher days of not eating at night? You know, shout out to Weight Watchers. It's totally different now, right? With the point system and everything else. But back in the day, it was like, you're not eating late at night. And I still don't. My kids all do. And I call them night raccoons because they're making like they're making gourmet meals at night. Like I wake up to a sink full of dishes. They've made pasta. They've made like all of these different things. And it's wild to me. I tend not to snack at night. But one memorable one was my kids were young. We were sleep deprived. We were exhausted. We had tacos and we must have had them for dinner that night. And we got up at like, we were up at 3 a.m, you know, young kids.
Yeah.
And so we just warmed up those corn tortillas and just ate tacos in the middle of the night. I love a taco. Surprisingly, it doesn't need a lot of filling, I guess, to make a delicious taco. There's so many things. Maybe I wasn't even having tacos. We had like leftover pulled beef or pork or, you know, an avocado loose leaf and a jar of salsa and just made a delicious midnight snack of a taco.
That also sounds yummy. And you're right, easy, because if you have it, all the pieces are in the fridge. And it is about ease and speed because you're probably hungry and you probably don't want to spend a ton of time making something.
Yeah, I'm always hungry, right? You guys know that now, right? I don't leave the house. If I'm leaving the house for more than like 45 minutes or an hour, I'm like, okay, what should I bring? Jody knows this, right? I'm like, I'm bringing snacks. Like I have this like fear of going hungry. And so I was thinking about, you know, when you're snacking, it's like you're either one side or the other, right? You're either greasy pizza, or for me, like I think I have, you know, yogurt with maple syrup almost every night. Or if there's like a fresh loaf of bread, I'm having like a piece of bread with peanut butter. Jordy, you love you were talking about your Kraft peanut butter. I'm like Kraft versus Adams, right?
Is toast and peanut butter your go-to, Jody? And I guess we should say too, I mean, I'm a 4 o'clock snacker. I could eat the whole fridge at 4 o'clock every single day in the afternoon. So I think we call it midnight snacks because that's maybe where our memories come from. But yeah, age and stage depends on the time. But all of these snacks can be made at any time during the day at a fairly quick pace, I would think.
So, you know, like those people that get grumpy if they don't eat? That's me. Right? Kirsty. Yeah, Kirsty too. Like she needs to eat. I eat more when I'm with Kirsty than not. I eat really well, right? Because she's always got some sort of snack, even if it's a turkey pepperette, right? We're going to eat really delicious food. For me, if I have nothing else in the house, I'm going to take some bread, some Kraft peanut butter. I'm going to slip some butter in there as well, ideally salted. And then what I'll do, it's on toast, sorry, not bread, to backtrack there. And it goes in the microwave for 7 to 9 seconds so that the peanut butter is melted and it's like liquid peanut. It's so good. So good.
My brother does that. I thought he was the only one. He's like 5 seconds with that peanut butter.
And then I'm happy. Like, I'm like, if it's like I'm not cooking today kind of day, I'm like, I'm going to eat bread and peanut or toast and peanut butter. And I am happy.
Well, you know, I love toast and peanut butter, you said put in the microwave to melt it. So I melt it by having peanut butter and crumpets. And it comes out of the toaster, you put the peanut butter on it, it melts into the little holes, and then it's so yum.
So fancy with the crumpets.
I've never had a crumpet.
You've never had a crumpet?
I've never had one. No. Why have I never had a crumpet?
It's like, it's so thick, you have to toast it twice in order to make sure that it's really toasted. And then I either put like sugar cinnamon on it or peanut butter, and it is an epic snack.
Okay, do you put butter before the sugar cinnamon and the...
Butter, yes, before the sugar cinnamon. At home, I don't put butter with the peanut butter. But when you said that, Jody, if I'm at brunch and there's like toast on the table, my favorite thing is to... it's always buttered, is to add the peanut butter to it. And it's like my own little delicacy when I'm out.
Okay. See, I only eat toast and peanut butter at my own house. I would never eat it out. And not because I'm embarrassed by it at all, but because I need it to be the right temperature. I need my microwave to melt my peanut butter. I need, like, I don't do anything while I'm waiting for my toast, right? Sitting there waiting, anticipating, right? It pops up. Butter right away, peanut butter, 7 to 8 seconds, depend on the ambient temperature. And I sit down, don't talk to anyone until I'm done.
Okay, answer me a question. Why are some toasters like $19.99 and like $399? Like, what's the difference? I was like, oh, maybe I should get a new toaster. Why is there this huge price gap in a toaster? It's all doing the same thing, no?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think sometimes toasters do 12 things. Our toaster does not. It toasts the toast and it pops up. I don't know. You're right. It's one of those things where you buy it and you often don't need a new one. And then there is a price range. And so I'm curious as to why too.
I'm going to say maybe it's a difference between, you know, that Jack in the Box and it's just like slowly and then it pops up and scares the shit out of you. Or just a new version of it where it just kind of dances up and says, hi, I'm toasted. I don't know. Okay. We haven't tested them. Maybe we should.
Thank you. Jody always has a way of explaining things that make sense to me.
And it's total nonsense. I don't know.
It sounds pretty good though.
It's a healthy guesstimate, you know? I don't know.
All right.
Well, Jody, you mentioned how you don't snack as much now, but your kids are up late. And I think that sounds pretty normal. The kids eat later than the parents often. So what we were kids once, and we probably did a lot of midnight snacking. So what did you sneak out of the cupboard as a child during sleepovers or when you wanted to sneak to the kitchen for a snack? What was your go-to as kids?
I'll let Kirsty answer this again because I didn't. I was so scared shitless. I followed the rules. I know you're surprised by this, but I'm a rule follower. I was in a sleepover. I was snug as a bug in a rug in that sleeping bag, and I wasn't getting out for nothing.
I think it was like, not like it was encouraged in our house, but I know my dad did. Like, I know, like, he'd be like laying there. And I'm the same way now. I'm like reading. I'm like, oh, I'm a little hungry. So I got to like go downstairs and, you know, get a banana or better yet, you know, if there's coffee cake, I'm eating like three slices. But as a teen or a kid, I remember I'd get together with my best friend Miller and we would just make cookie dough just for the dough, right? Like just like fun snacking like that, right? Or, you know, our bits and bites. My mom's been making our bits and bites. We've kind of skewed the recipe a little bit. Jody made some last year. And for me, it's the food talks to me. I don't know if it talks to you, but when I'm sitting on the couch, right, there's this little voice going, there's those bits and bites in the cupboard, right? Like, and I gotta eat them, right? They're just talking to me till they're gone.
I love that. Oh, I'm a huge cookie dough fan. I am right there with you. I mean, I haven't stopped and passed it on to my children. And I would eat cookie dough over cookies every day.
Yes, yes, 100%.
Okay, ladies, you know that we're not supposed to eat raw flour and raw cookie dough, right? I know that there's versions out there, but I am going to create a version of raw cookie dough that you can make at home so you can eat copious amounts of it.
Oh, that would be good. Well, I'll tell you my hack because I did know that and I was always conscious about it. So the packaged Quaker oatmeal cookies that you just add water to, that was my hack. So I would get that, put the package in, put the water in, stir it up, and it would be cookie dough. There's no egg, no flour, and you could eat it without feeling guilty about the egg and the raw flour.
So like little oat balls.
Well, whatever fit on the spoon.
she's not even balling it up.
No, no, no. It's like right from the bowl in the spoon, like you're eating cereal.
Yeah, nothing beats that memory of licking the spoon or licking the beet, right? It would remember, like the dangerous, like, you know, mixer.
You know, you're looking at like a lollipop and you're trying to get all of the cookie dough off it. It was like the best.
Yeah, because you want that dough so bad.
So if we're not going to eat the raw flour and the eggs, and maybe we're going to be a little more conscious about what we eat, but we go back to ease. But, you know, what would be like three items to have in your pantry served for an emergency snack attack?
I'm going to go healthy on this one. And I always have toasted almonds, right? Like there's the greasy pizza, but I always have toasted almonds. Or, you know, even cashews, snacking like that, right? I like a banana. I love a toast and cottage cheese. I know that's not super pantry, but that's another midnight snack that my oma used to always have. Bit more on the healthy side.
That is more on the healthy side. I have to say, we don't do cottage cheese. And then Jackson, because he's training, brought it into the house in the summer. And he loves cottage cheese on toast. But okay. Steve and I are like, keep that to your side of the fridge.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Kirstie's a real conscious snack eater in general. She's very conscious. She's really, you know, toasted almonds, cottage cheese on toast. Like my snacks are real guilty pleasures. And maybe that's why, like, I've had a couple renditions of what I was going to tell you that I eat, right? Like, mine is Tostitos whole wheat chips with queso dip out of a jar right out of the fridge. Still cold, right? Like, not good. You know what? I'm like, how would I even make this? Like, I can't even decipher what would be the mother recipe. I know what the mother recipe is, but for this queso dip, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it might just be cheese powder, and I don't know how they make cheese powder. And
you're looking to buy edible oil product, whatever that is.
I don't know, but I like it.
Jody, I'm gonna take your vision, and I'm gonna lump it all into one fantastic recipe, right? I'm gonna take your cheese weird dip thing, and I'm gonna take, you know, memories of your mom, and I'm gonna put it all together in Jody's mom's chicken crack dip recipe that we can then add at in show notes. You know, when I first met your mom, and we would, you know, go on these trips and whatnot, and she'd be like, I'll just bring my chicken dip. And it's called chicken crack dip for a reason, if we're allowed to say this. We just cannot stop eating it. And it's her signature recipe. And I think that maybe that would fit your bill instead of the waxy cold queso.
I wasn't going to say anything because I knew you would be like, I'm never going to convert you. I would never say I'm going to get Kirstie to eat this and she'll really enjoy it. She's like, I'm not even trying it.
Okay. But I have eaten a 7-Eleven taquito at midnight. So that was a fun story. You know, it was New Year's Eve even, Amy, right? Where like my husband and I, we had like a whole night planned. And then of course, you know, the kids got sick and we had to go home, but we were starving. We hadn't eaten yet. And my husband's like, let's stop at 7-Eleven for hot dogs and taquitos. So we did. And then we got home and he proceeded to put mustard on the hot dog. It was expired. You know, it was like all separated and stuff. He's like, this is the worst New Year's ever, right? I'm eating expired hot dogs and taquitos from 7-Eleven. But fresh, those taquitos are not too bad.
I think we have all have those stories, but you know, some of my favorite midnight snacks are the fancy ones. If you go to a wedding, often the midnight snack spread is better than the meal almost. We went to a couple where it was all like a fish bar and everything, or we did candy bar because that was us. But you know, sometimes that's like high end midnight snacks.
So the best midnight snack at a wedding that I had was at Kirstie's wedding.
Of course.
Did you say of course?
Yes, I said of course.
Yeah, of course. So I was a single mom at the time, but essentially her 11 o'clock buffet was a sandwich bar, but not pre-made, just all of these delicious deli meats. Chris, where did you get it?
You know, it's so funny. You're telling me this and you have a better recollection of this than I do, Jody. I think it might, at the time, Oh So Good Meats was a thing and it's not even there anymore. Do you remember that, Amy? It's kind of was in your neck of the woods. I'm not even sure. Yeah.
Okay. So it was delicious nonetheless. There was rye bread, white breads, like buns, all these different types of mustards and German mustards, cheeses, and all this whole spread. Again, going back to being single, I went to this wedding by myself. Christy and I were just business partners, but I didn't know the wide range of people. We got put at a table with you know, Kirstie's cousin and coworker of someone.
Random. We're like, where can we put these people, you know?
The random table, yes. And we had a great time. So it was time to leave. So I was getting a ride home. I'm like, just 1 minute, please. I made myself the best sandwich. I wrapped it in like napkins, shoved it in my purse, hitched a ride home safely, like I knew the people, hitched a ride home, sat on my couch by myself and ate this glorious fresh sandwich. It was so good. It, you know, right when it hits right, it hits right. And that is my all-time favorite midnight snack. Are you tearing up, my girl?
I'm tearing up a little bit. But, you know, it's funny. My friend had me over for lunch. She's like, it's just a sandwich. I'm like, no. Like, sandwiches, I think we've come full circle, ladies. Midnight snack, a sandwich, right? Like, they're just so simple and so delicious, right? It's a real, real treat.
Yes, that sounds like a fantastic midnight snack wedding buffet bar. But you're not wrong, Kirsty. Steve and I call them little sandwiches. And it's like, it indicates it's not like for lunch or dinner, it's like a snack. And the best part is it can be anything because whatever bread's around, it could be a baguette, it could be bread, it could be an English muffin, it could be whatever, a crumpet, and then whatever's around. And then it just does make the best snack. And you just stand in the kitchen and eat it. And it's fantastic.
Sandwiches are the supreme midnight snack. We know that, right? But if you've ever been to Toronto at midnight, the most popular, what's bumping at midnight are the Spadina Street Chinese restaurants. Like, that's the time you're eating that food. You wake up a little swollen the next morning because it's so salty, unapologetically salty, a friend once told me. So that, I think that for me, it's right up there. When my husband and I used to work in the restaurant together, we would go out to eat after, right? So, and the only thing that's open at midnight are Chinese restaurants, right? There's definitely some here in Kitchener-Waterloo, and we would go and eat Chinese food at midnight. And I think that's actually a fairly traditional midnight thing to do. So that's going to be right up there for me as well.
I love it. We have the home midnight snack option, and we have the, if you're out on the town, midnight snack option.
That we have the healthy, we have the queso dip version. We have toasted, we have untoasted.
And we have cookie dough.
You can't judge me. It just makes me a real person.
I'm not judging. I'll have to try it. So I'm going to ring your doorbell at midnight someday.
Well, thank you for sharing your midnight snacks, because now we have some quick recipes that we can do all day long. And I love the idea of taking what's from the fridge and just coming up with whatever. It's like mini comfort food, which I think is important to have, because there are those times where you just need it and it just makes you feel better.
I think one thing we forgot to mention was cereal. Cereal's for midnight. Cereal's not for breakfast. Am I right, Amy?
Yes.
Yeah, honorable mention.
I would agree.
And when we were kids, don't forget that we never had sugared cereals. We had Cheerios that we would put that corn syrup on as well.
Yes, and it would kind of stick together. I felt like I was creating something. Thank you, Jody.
I totally agree. I could crush a box of cereal at night any day of the week. And with the Cheerios, Jody, I didn't use corn syrup. I used brown sugar. Ooh. And so then the milk would be like sugary milk at the end. And you could just keep pouring the cereal in and just adding a little milk and a little more sugar. And that is one, you're not wrong, Kirsty. I'm so glad you brought that up. The cereal is one of my favorite snacks of all time.
Yeah, I never eat it in the morning, only at night.
Thank you for joining us in the kitchen today. If you'd like to know more about what we talked about, including recipes, recommendations, and links to Jody and Kirsty's full selection of online classes, you can find everything in the show notes or visit the Culinary Studio website. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast and take a moment to leave us a review. Chef Over Your Shoulder is a member of the Bespoke Productions Hub podcast network. Happy cooking.